hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Today we have in studio from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec a number of folks. We'll start off this morning with Brittany Garrett with athletics. So, Brittany, what all's happening within your department?
Yeah, we got a lot going on right now. Currently, we got flag football signups and youth cheerleading signups. Flag football starts at 5 years old as of September 1 and goes to 13 as of September 1st. And cheerleading starts at 6 as of September 1st and goes to 13 as of September 1st.
And are these all programs that get started in the summertime?
Yeah, we'll start evaluations July 11th, and then the program will start August 13th. So you have till July 11th to sign up. You can sign up at our facilities or online at Murfreesboro.
So out of all the sports, what's the most popular?
Oh, youth basketball. Yeah, we average about 1,500 people in that, so that's our biggest sport. Signups with that will start on October 1st.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people. We use elementary schools. We use about 10 locations for that. We have a really good partnership with city schools.
Whenever you have games, do you have like tons of parents, grandparents, all that? Do they fill each school?
They fill the stands. Yeah, it takes an army for youth basketball.
Is that the age where you start kind of training parents not to get too crazy?
It's crazy because the younger they are, the more crazy the parents are.
That's interesting.
So most of my problems are 5 and 6, 7 and 8 year olds. 5 and 6, we don't even keep score, but they know the score.
But the parents definitely do.
Oh, 100%. They know the score.
Do you ever have parents like run out there on the basketball floor and cause commotion?
Oh, yeah, all the time. At least one good incident a year. You got to have it with youth sports in general.
That's got to make it more interesting from year to year. You never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Again, what is the age range of kids who can play for the signups?
For the signups for flag football is 6 to 13 as of September 1st. That's the cutoff.
And who are they playing? Are they just playing each other?
Yeah, we all play at Richard Siegel Soccer Park. That's where they'll play in practice, and they do play each other, yes.
And flag football, do they wear helmets for that and everything, pads? What do they do?
Nope, flag is literally no equipment needed. Really, you can wear tennis shoes. We provide the jersey and the flags, so that's all that's needed. But no helmets or
pads or anything.
No. Nope.
So how do you teach kids, you know, that this is not going to be full contact football here? This is not the NFL.
It's manageable. A lot of them will get in the younger age group where they'll go to pull the flag, but they accidentally wrap around them. So it's comical sometimes, but most of the time they understand with practice and stuff. Pull the flag.
I can't really picture, 7 and 8 year olds doing that. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Our 5 and 6 is probably my favorite age group to watch in that because they'll just run. Even their flag's been pulled, but they've got to run it all the way to score.
It's like nonstop running, too.
Yes. And then the official's chasing them. The coach is chasing them. Yeah.
It's time to stop. Hurting. The game's over.
Yeah.
With this, and like with flag football as an example, do you have all the parents show up for that too, or which one is more attended, basketball or football?
Oh, that's a hard one. Our younger ones, I would say football, actually. As they get older, it's less, grandparents usually don't come. It's usually just the parents.
Coaches, how do you go about deciding who's going to coach these teams, or are parents volunteering for that?
It's all volunteer based. They fill out a background check. I'm going to say that's an area where we're blessed in, and we do have a lot of great parents that will step up and volunteer to coach.
This is not where the million-dollar careers begin then?
Absolutely not. I promise your child is not going to sign a deal off playing with us, and you are not going to be an NFL coach off this.
Do some parents go into this thinking, this is it right here, but my kid's going to go off to the NFL?
Yeah, it's 7 and 8 years old. They think that.
That's not normal thinking right there.
It's not.
But it's got to make it more comical.
It does. And that's where you have to reel them back in and be like, this is wreck.
It's supposed to be fun, though.
It is.
You're supposed to laugh at some of these games, because kids are out there first time to play sports, some of them.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, where do they go to sign up for all these?
Yeah, so MurfreesboroParks.com. You can go online, and then you can go to Patterson SportsCom, our main office on Thompson Lane. At all of our facilities, you can sign up.
And are there fees associated with signing up?
So there's a $75 fee for flag football, and then $80 for cheer. That's $50 for jersey, and then $30 for activity fee.
Now, I know once you get to like the middle school level, at least in school, there's different waivers you have to sign, things like that, medical forms. Is that true also for this age?
You have to sign a waiver when you sign up. It's on the registration form, waiver, yeah.
And again, that information can be found on the park's website.
Yes, sir.
And then the dates of the games, when do they actually start playing the official games?
So we'll start in, I think September 8th is the first game out of the gate, but practices will start August 11th. So you got a good month of practices. Before we start game.
And it's going to be hot this year.
Very hot. And they do get to play on turf, too. They do get to enjoy the turf at Richard Siegel Soccer Park.
So all of this is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Sign-ups as well. So
currently going on right now to July 11th.
Again, when does it actually get underway? I know you said the sign-ups until July 11th.
August 11th, it will get underway.
Sounds good.
With practices, yep.
We'll head to Rachel Singer now. So, Rachel, what else is happening within the parks?
We always have a lot happening in the parks. So we've got fantastic staff that keeps our parks clean and safe, great program staff that facilitate just an array of great programs for everyone. So whether you want to do, you know, hiking on the Greenway or at Barfield or any of the great athletic programs, or we've got our aquatics, which is as you can imagine, pretty popular right now.
Yeah, I would say so. It's gotten so hot out there.
It has. So, there's really something for everybody. So doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your interest, you can find it. If you can't find it with Murfreesboro Parks,
you're living in the wrong place.
Yes, that's right.
And in the summertime, I know you've talked about this before too, the parks, you have to ramp up your staff as well. You've got to add more staff members. You have the pools, lifeguards. I mean, there's a lot that goes into the summer.
Absolutely. People still ask us, you know, when our downtime is, and we really don't have a downtime. Just around the year we're busy, but in the summer we do hire quite a few seasonals, and so we've got Kyle here. He probably increases your staff by
probably about 40-45 people just during the summer alone. I mean, we carry a good 30 year round though.
And that's just for the additional lifeguards that you need, or what?
Lifeguards, we also have concessionaires and people working the admissions line and stuff, and that's just on the aquatic side.
You know, I don't even think about concessions, but that's something else you guys have to hire for.
Oh, yeah, we've got about a dozen people working back there, kind of rotating through.
So what all goes into hiring these folks for the summer? When do you start doing that?
January is really when we start kind of looking at that. We start running American Red Cross lifeguarding courses then, and we'll run at least one session of that a month through May. And that's where we get the bulk of our hiring done. People that come in and they sign up saying they want to work for us, if they sign a waiver saying, yeah, I'll work for you throughout the summer for 3 months, we'll pay that card cost for them, and that saves them. We're on the cheap end of what we charge for this class, but we typically it's $175. Most places, I think, are $200 to $250. We're blessed. We get a lot of people coming through wanting to be lifeguards in the area, and we're able to build a good staff.
Now, do you have more people use the indoor pool as well during the summer?
No, the outdoor pool is far, far more popular. And it's kind of funny you mentioned the indoor pool. That's shut down right now for a project that we can talk about if you want in a little bit.
Now, is that the SportsCom or Patterson Park?
SportsCom.
Okay, so SportsCom, yep. Indoor pool shut down. How long will that be shut down?
We're hoping to have it open in the next probably week and a half.
And that's more popular, I guess, for what? Exercise, lap swims?
Yeah, exercise classes, lap swim, swim teams, things like that.
So where are those things taking place while that's shut down?
So we've shuffled a lot of that around, and we're all getting it to fit in the outdoor pool right now. So that outdoor pool is going from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. We're capitalizing on, you know, every minute we can of that thing.
So what do y'all do for lighting? I guess I've never really been to SportsCom's outdoor pool at night.
Yeah, so we have underwater lights in the water. And then we also have LED lights going around it.
Okay. I'm sure lights it up quite a bit.
Oh, it's pretty bright out there.
So what are the projects going on with that indoor pool?
So the pool, it was last renovated probably 13, 14 years ago. And that point, the plaster, was when that the plaster and tiles put in at that point. And that typically has about a shelf life of about 10 years. And we've by far exceeded that. We've made it last and done well with that. But we're coming back, replastering it, retiling it, and it's going to look, you know, nice and new again.
So was that always a plaster pool, or was it concrete at first, or what was that?
Ever since I've been around, it's plastered. They might have had it concreted before that and painted over it, or they might have painted the plaster, but it's plaster now.
You know, I remember as a kid, I forgot what pool it was, but the bottom of it would always hurt your feet like crazy. You know, you get out at the end of the summer, your feet are like bleeding or something.
It could have been a paint or something like that, or it just got a little rough on your feet.
I just have tender feet, I guess. I don't
Maybe.
Know. So what else is happening with the pools? What else do you guys do during the summer?
So during the summer, like I said, we have everything going 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. through there. From 6 to 8, we rent out lanes to swim teams in the area. From 8 to 10, we have water aerobics, lap swim, that going out there. Then from most of the days, 10 to 6:30 it's open swim outside. And that's where the bulk of our patronage comes in. But I know like our sports camp and other camps come and use it as well during that time. And then again, from 7 to 9, we run out lanes and swim lesson areas.
Now, do you know, like schools like Oakland, Riverdale, do they still have swimming pools?
So Oakland, Riverdale, Smyrna, and Laverne all have swimming pools. None of the newer ones do.
Okay. Are they still used, I guess?
They are. So I know a little bit about this just from, I used to be a swim coach way back in the day. Now, Oakland, for example, I know the Oakland Middle, Oakland High, and Siegel High all train out of there during their high school seasons, which is typically September through February. And I think that gets used pretty much from right after school until about 8 o'clock at night.
Now, for those who are listening who've got, you know, teenagers, kids going into college, are you still in need for hiring lifeguards?
Not at this point, but we'll probably be wanting to hire some people that can work morning shifts. When school goes back.
Okay. So morning shift at some point,
yeah,
that's going to be needed.
If you have a kid in college or college aged that, you know, wants a nice, easy job that's flexible, work with their schedule, we're more than happy to do that with them.
Do you move the lifeguards around to work different shifts? I mean, in addition to the pool itself, they're working concessions sometimes. How do you do that?
They typically don't cross over too much. They will if the need calls for it. But typically they don't. So a lot of times with the lifeguards, for example, they'll work at SportsCom one day, then Patterson the next day, just kind of help prevent some of that burnout and make sure they stay fresh.
And then what about different events or parties or things happening at the pools? How do you go about arranging all of that?
Sure. You can come in to do a private rental reservation, which all of ours for the outdoor pool this summer are booked up. We typically start renting those on January 2nd each year. Then June and July are probably gone within the first couple weeks. Those are very popular.
So that's pretty quick then.
Oh, yeah.
And then 4th of July, are there any big events planned at the SportsCom outdoor pool?
Nothing too crazy at the outdoor pool.
Nothing too crazy. Good phrase.
We do, on those holidays, we like to have some contests and games and stuff going on outside. My favorite one is the belly flop contest. We did the first one on Memorial Day. So the next one will be on July 4th. So anyone, kids or adults that want to participate, we have two different categories that we'll run. We'll have the youth one and the adult one. Come on out and participate.
It sounds really painful.
I have not demoed that.
No, okay.
Michael Lynn keeps challenging me to it.
Right, I think you did.
I keep telling her to show up and I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
If she does it too.
Challenge on.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm not
okay.
afraid to do
this
it.
It's going to be a big competition
right.
here. You're setting
just
up.
Just call Michael Lynn out. Let's make this
happen.
I'll
do it.
So how do folks react when they do a belly flop? Because, I mean, if you're an adult, you know, 40 plus years old, that would, you know, cause a lot of pain.
Oh, yeah. They come up the first time, bright red, as long as they do it right. And, you know, a lot of them chicken out last second, their hands enter the water first or their feet. But, yeah, so they'll go through the first round, look bright red. You can tell they're in a little bit of pain, and they don't realize we're going to call out a round two. So we do go by crowd, you know, applause, noise. We take the top, you know, handful after the first round, make them do round two. Well, then you eliminate down to like two or three.
Yeah.
You got to go round three at that point.
So they've already done it two or three times
exactly.
at this point.
I mean, they're there to compete. They don't want to, you know, look like a chicken in front of their kids. So they keep going.
Yeah, especially the men.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't be beat. Okay. So do you have folks who go all out? I mean, they're like needing emergency care afterwards.
Not that bad. No. We do have some of them that have come every year and just they keep showing up on the 4th of July. Excuse me. And they keep doing it. This one guy, I cannot remember his name, but he has done it so many times and he does it phenomenally. He's won it numerous times.
Do these guys have an education? I mean, because it's just not something that would be fun to do, to smack in that water. I don't know.
You know, I've never asked that question.
You should take a survey, you know. How many of you actually graduated? Okay, yeah, that should be done for sure. What's the oldest person who has done this competition?
I'd say they're probably in their 60s.
Man.
Yeah.
And have some of those been back every single year?
Not as often. They typically learn a little quicker.
That makes sense right there.
It's usually the dads with the little kids.
Do you have dads with middle school to high schoolers out there doing that too? Or is that just too embarrassing for the kids?
I think some of their kids put them up to it.
Okay. And then the kids don't show up?
Yeah.
So, Scott, now that you know, you're going to be there for July, right?
Yeah, that's right up my alley. I love pain. Sounds like a lot of fun. So, again, when is the big belly flop?
We'll play right around noon on July 4th.
Noon, July 4th.
Yeah, it gives us a good time because we open at 10 that day. We get a couple hours of people getting in the gates. So we have a good crowd. More people to watch.
Yeah, because I would love everybody watching me do that. That's good. And then what is the prize? How do you go about giving the big award? Because it's got to be huge for something like this.
A lot of times
this.
They get the choice of a free drink or slushy at the concession stand.
Okay. I don't know. No way. So yeah, the person who does the best belly flop, who's in the most pain, they get a free drink.
The three
not
best
about
belly
the
flops.
Trophy.
The three
not
most.
Not about the trophy.
Yeah, it's not about that award. That's good, though. Okay. And is there a cost to participate in this?
Oh, no, it's free. If you're crazy enough to compete, we'll let you do it.
Wow. I like it. And so what else happens around this event? How do you have all this geared up? How does the day start?
Like I said.
With a belly flop.
With a belly flop, no. 10 a.m., the doors open. We let a couple hours people get in. We just get a group of lifeguards go around announcing it. We'll announce it over the PA system, gather everyone around, and it always draws a crowd. I mean, people just kind of flock to that side of the pool and watch.
Yeah, I would too.
And then we have someone with a megaphone just announcing.
You have anybody do some practice rounds or anything, just to kind of get warmed up for it?
No.
You should suggest that. Yeah, that's a good idea. So this big belly flop contest, do other pools do this? Have you talked to other cities or counties and they're doing the similar type?
I don't know.
I wonder.
We should find out.
Do you have pictures posted from last year? Because
we do have a couple. I don't know if they're posted, but we can see if I can get them posted.
Yeah.
I'll get with Lynn when she gets back in town and see if she'll post one on social media
that
for
would
us.
That'd be good to post.
It sounds like it's a Murfreesboro original.
It really does. Yeah. Do they try to get as much height as possible just to increase the pain
ones.
A little bit?
The good ones do. The bad ones kind of chicken out and dive or just kind of
fall off.
Go in.
Yeah.
You got a few of those that are... They're pretty good.
And the diving board itself, it's what, 4 feet, 5 feet above water? How high is it?
It's a 1 meter, not even a 1 meter board. So it's probably 2 to 3 feet.
Because now you used to have a high dive. Do you still have that?
We do not.
Okay.
So when the pool was renovated 13, 14 years ago, I can't remember that date, we had to get rid of the high dives. In order to keep those, we'd have had to dug out the pool an extra 2 feet.
Oh.
It just wasn't necessarily worth the cost on that one. It wasn't one of the most more popular attractions. The money was rather directed to getting, slides and some of those other features that are really drawing the people in.
Because a high dive, that would add kind of a new twist, on the favorite belly flop.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd run it off that one. That one would be a...
People would be passing out as they hit the water, I mean.
That'd be bad.
That'd be bad. What about, a back flop? You ever have anybody try to do that just to kind of up the ante a little bit?
No, because we do call it a belly flop contest. We don't really have the back flops. The only way we would allow that is if you kind of do almost a full flip to land.
Yeah.
We don't allow anything inward or gainers, for example, off the diving boards just for safety measures.
I think if I tried to do a flip, I would automatically do probably a belly flop or back flop.
I think
you
should come out and come swimming then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be a natural at it. It sounds like a good time. And you don't have to sign up ahead of time. You literally just show up on July 4th.
Yeah. Show up, come swimming like normal, then just wait for the lifeguards to walk around with that megaphone and call it the contest.
It's that easy. That's amazing. Okay. And then, Rachel, going back to you, what else is happening?
Well, so we do have 4th of July celebration under the stars coming up.
Same day as the belly flop.
Same day as the belly flop. So you can go swim, belly flop, and then come out to the fountains, listen to some great music, do some dancing, and then watch the fireworks.
And what time does that start for the 4th of July event?
So the DJ will start at 4:30, and that's just to encourage people to get there early, get a good seat, kind of make their nest, you know. They can bring chairs and blankets and whatnot. We'll have food trucks. It's at the fountain, so there's multiple restaurant options there for food. And then at 7:30, Derek Dove and the Peacekeepers is our band this year, and they're kind of southern rock. They'll be a good fan favorite there. And then 9 o'clock is fireworks.
Do you have people show up with like a full array of picnic items? I mean, do they picnic during this?
They do. They do. Yeah. They really come out and tailgate and kind of, you know, do it up big. Some people, we ask that no grills are brought out. So sometimes people will try to do that. But just
you
for
know,
safety.
It's funny when the parks talk about, well, we're not going to allow this or that. It tells me that that's been done.
Right,
people show up and they go all out.
Every rule we have, it's because it's been done. Yes.
But bringing a grill and everything, that's really coming prepared if somebody were
yes,
to do that.
But please don't bring your grill.
But don't do it. That's right. But there are lots of food options. Food truck wise, do you know what food trucks will be there yet?
I don't yet. So we have a good partnership with the fountains at Gateway, and they handle the food truck booking, and then all the restaurants there are going to be prepared for a lot of people. A lot of times they'll have their own food trucks, and so then they've got the storefront and their food truck as a little satellite just to help keep those lines low. So.
Is there enough room for everybody to park there at the fountains, or are people parking elsewhere?
So parking, we've got the fountains, you know, that fills up fast, obviously, and then across the street, directly across the street in the field, next to Fire Station 4 will be free parking this year, and they can cross at the light, be safe. Be prepared for some traffic, but everyone can get a parking spot.
And I'm sure it's important to note, you can't be shooting off your own fireworks.
No,
at this
please
event.
Don't do that.
Have you had people try that as well?
We have, yes.
That just makes sense when you're in a big crowd.
I know. And it's a good time to celebrate, and you know, people are excited. So, but our police are amazing, and we will have our police there, and they are, you know, walking the crowds and making sure everybody's safe, interacting with people. So they just do a wonderful job.
Now I'm thinking back. Did you guys were you able to have a fireworks show during COVID?
We did, yeah. And that was the first year we moved it over to that location. And we didn't have a concert or anything like that. You know, it was just fireworks, and we encouraged people to social distance. And, you know, that's the great thing about right in town is there's so many places that you can view those fireworks. And so it worked out great in 2020. And that's why we kept it there.
And then how many years has the city been doing a fireworks show?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
I mean, I remember when I was at Old Fort Park years ago.
Right. And then MTSU. Yeah. And then McKnight Park.
Yeah.
And now the fountains. So
a lot of years.
It's got a big history.
I wonder, has it been since the 90s at least?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I think it has. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know it's been a long time.
That was before I was even in Tennessee.
I remember as a kid watching it.
But yeah, I'm sure. Right.
It's been at least 25, 30 years that I can account for, I think.
Okay.
And you can see it from a pretty good distance away. I mean, no matter where it is.
It's a great show. I mean, it really is, I think, one of the best in the States. It's a long show. It should be about 17 or 18 minutes long. And they, you know, it's beautiful.
And I know you mentioned there may be some traffic, but it's nothing like some of the traffic that we've seen in other areas during 4th of July
events. We really feel like we've got the traffic worked out as best as we can. Again, we've got lots of police there that will help kind of, you know, navigate that traffic on the way out. There's a lot of outlets that you can, depending on where you're parked, like pick a way out. So it's not just one way in, one way out. We kind of had that problem at McKnight, and you know, you were there for a couple hours waiting to get home. So it's a lot of traffic, but I would say in about 30 minutes, it's clear. And I think that's amazing.
We're going to take a short break. Then when we come back, we will hear from Mary Beth Nevels about Cannonsburg and some things happening out there. And again, in studio with us today, we have guests from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec.
At Middle Tennessee Electric, we see the lines that link us all, illuminating our neighborhoods, empowering our businesses, and helping us to recharge. Because we believe in the power of good energy. whether it comes from our grids, the sun, or a kind heart. And as your family and our region continue to grow, you can trust that we'll always be there for you. Middle Tennessee Electric, bringing good energy.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE serves members with more than just electricity. Their community outreach team works with schools, parents, and students to provide engaging and unique learning experiences. MTE serving to make life better since 1936.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
You're tuned to WGNS on this Tuesday morning, and today we have guests in studio from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. And now we're going to talk a little bit about events and things happening at Cannonsburg with Mary Beth Neville. So, Mary Beth, what's happening?
Well, we are busy out at Cannonsburg. If you haven't been in a while, you need to come see. We have been doing bingo every Wednesday night in June, so we've got one left this Wednesday evening from 6 to 8. It is free, just a fun time to sit and visit, get to know the people sitting at the table with you, and play a fun game or several of bingo.
So bingo is popular. It is. People love it.
It is. It's really fun. We've had really good groups, so we hope to keep it up. Just something we can offer to let people come sit and enjoy a summer evening. So that is this Wednesday, 6 to 8. And then Saturday night, 6 to 8, we have an evening of old time. It's a jam session. We've been doing jam sessions on Tuesdays from 1 until 2 since January. Just anybody that wants to show up and jam and bring their instrument, play old time music. But we're going to do it this Saturday evening also. So catch the people who maybe work and haven't been able to come. And even if you don't play an instrument, if you want to come be a spectator, bring you a chair and come sit and listen.
What's the oddest instrument that someone has brought to jam out?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
They bring all types of instruments.
Whatever they feel like bringing.
I may bring my oboe sometime.
There you go.
You should.
They bring and just play together. So it's a fun musical evening.
And then with the bingo, where do you do that within Cannonsburg again? When you get there, where do we go?
It's under the pavilion.
Okay.
So we've got it set up under the pavilion. It's a fun, unique spot. And while we're there on those evenings, we keep the buildings open. So if you need to get up and stretch your legs, you can go take a look at the buildings.
Take in a little history in between the bingo games.
Yeah.
And what about prizes? What do you do about prizes?
Right now, since it's free, it's whatever we can find or come across that we can hand out. So it's not big prizes, not a lot, but
no free cars, nothing like that.
No,
it's in the future.
It's meant to be fun.
And again, this is all happening at Cannonsburg.
Yes.
And you guys have other events that take place throughout the year. I mean, you have different demonstrations and whatnot. What all does take place? What are some other things that do happen out there?
Well, coming up in July, on July 12th, we're going to have a square dance with a live string band. The Stones River Reelers is the band. That's July 12th, 6 to 8. And that'll be under the gazebo.
And there's everything from car shows to hay rides out there at Cannonsburg.
Right.
I mean, you guys have done a lot over the years.
Well, that's right. We have Harvest Days, which will be our next festival. It's the fourth Saturday in October.
Okay. So that's when the harvest, that's when the hay rides officially start.
That's when we'll have demonstrators and square dance, slap music,
And when you say demonstrator, we're not talking protesters here, because
no. I know. Potters, weavers, basket makers.
Blacksmithing, all that stuff. Now, Town Creek, when that is officially daylighted, what will that mean for Cannonsburg?
We're really excited. It'll connect where the Greenway ends at Cannonsburg. It'll continue across and connect us down to Discovery Center. So as people are walking along the Greenway, we get a lot of Greenway patrons that stop off and take a few minutes. They'll, you know, push their bikes or park their bikes and take a few minutes to stroll through the village and then continue on. So it's just a continuation and gets us down to Discovery Center.
So will that make park space bigger or more ample over there around Cannonsburg, or what is that going to look like?
I think it's going to be wonderful. It's another outdoor space for people to enjoy.
And that's really kind of shaping up right now. I mean, it looks like, Rachel, I don't know if you have any updates on that, but it looks like they've cleared most of the land where the actual creek is.
Right. They're moving right along. You know, we don't oversee that project, but just with updates and visual cues, yeah, they're really moving along. I think that project is, you know, it had a pretty short time frame on it. I think it was 10 or 11 months. So in the grand scheme of things, that's going to be open and be able to be enjoyed pretty soon. So when I say pretty soon, a couple months. Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, the main thing is just going to be beautification of that area and connectivity, which is just, you know, two of our goals in Parks and Rec as well. So like Mary Beth said, just that additional connection between, you know, from the Greenway, which already connects all of a lot of our parks and lots of miles to enjoy. And then you'll be able to, you know, where the Greenway terminated at Cannonsburg, now you're going to be able to keep on going all the way to Discovery Center.
And while the parks don't oversee the project, are the parks going to oversee that Town Creek once it's finished, or who is going to oversee that?
Yeah, that's to be determined still, but you know, it's the street department does a lot with our urban areas, and the street department and the parks and recreation department maintenance guys have a great working relationship, and so we'll kind of see how that shakes out.
And the whole goal is to have a nice trail going to the WGNS radio tower,
right? I mean, exactly.
It's gonna be perfect.
Yes.
What about the walkway over Broad? Have you heard anything on that as far as updates, when that's going to be built?
I haven't heard much update wise in a little bit, but I do know that the plans were, you know, they were still looking at that and trying to see how that can be conceived.
I would imagine that's going to help out the parks a lot, because it's going to make it a lot easier to get to Cannonsburg. If there's events on the square, it should make a lot easier, more
right.
accessible.
Yep. Accessibility and connectivity again. And, you know, our downtown area is just booming. And, you know, just to be able to connect those spaces is going to be a win for everybody.
Now, as it stands right now, you can bike to work if you live in the Thompson Lane area, the Barfield area, I could go on and on.
Yeah,
but
right.
But there's trails along the Greenway. The Greenway really does provide great access.
It does. We have over 17 miles of Greenway trails, and each section is beautiful and has its own unique characteristics. It all follows the Stones River, obviously, but each part of that looks a little different. So, yeah, there's great areas on the Greenway. And then if you want to use it for mobility, you know, that's a great opportunity.
Now, when they built that new bridge at River Rock Boulevard that really helps connect to the 99 area, the new Salem Highway area, did you see an increase in use of the Greenway there?
Yep, we did. And, you know, a lot of people, we had that section of the Greenway closed for a long time and heard about it because people couldn't get through. And so they were very thankful that it's, again, open, and then, yeah, bringing new users to it for sure.
It's pretty cool. And it's almost like nobody knows that bridge exists yet. Because there's no traffic on it ever, it seems like.
It's wide and pretty, and yeah.
It does make it a whole lot easier to get to that side of town if you're coming off of
I-24. It does. I have a feeling it's going to be like 840, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people are going to find it.
And it's interesting because even 840, it still has yet to see that level of traffic that I think they anticipated in the very beginning years ago.
Right. But it's busier every time I'm on it.
It does get busier every day for sure, especially in the morning and in the afternoon.
Yes, for sure.
So what else is happening within the parks?
I was going to have Mary Beth talk about a project that's wrapping up back at Cannonsburg. If you want to talk about the museum.
Sure. Well, we have we're so grateful that we have received a capital campaign grant through the state of Tennessee. The Tennessee State Museum has been the provider of that. The grant enabled us to do some structural work on the Haynes Museum. That's the only original structure that's left on the property. The structural work took place in April, and then we have just this week, hopefully, are finishing up the roof, brand new roof on the building. The building has been closed to the public for several years, and the goal is to get these structural issues taken care of so we can get the building back open to the public. So we're very grateful for the grant and the work that's been put into the building.
So this is the museum that's on site, and that would be, I guess, next to where all the tractors are, kind of next door to that building?
It's right past the caboose, the big long brick building at the back of the property. It was the cotton warehouse to the cotton gin. And when the Canonsburg Village was put together, it was made into an exhibit space.
You know, I have seen so many photographs of people who are, you know, newly engaged, about to get married, or high school senior photos taken next to that caboose. It's wild how many people actually use that.
The caboose is a great picture opportunity, and we do realize that.
A ton of people use it. How many people visit Canonsburg each year? Do you have a number?
I do. Actually, we did some numbers at the end of 2024. And between our walk-in visitors, people who attended our events, programs, and the organizations that use our facility, we welcomed just over 27,000 people to the property that made use of it.
Are you able to get details? You know, this many are not from Murfreesboro. They're here for other reasons.
We do. And every month we post our visitor numbers on our Facebook page, and we are able to list how many states and countries came each month.
I'm curious. So what different countries do people come from?
Oh, we get all different countries. Europe, Asia, China, Japan, Africa. We've got people that come from all over the world to visit.
That is interesting. I wonder, are they coming here for Murfreesboro? Are they coming here for Nashville?
Here for Canonsburg.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
They fly around the world just to see Canonsburg. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. So what else is happening? What did we leave off?
Well, we do have some new residents that live on site. We just opened up our chicken coop.
I had no idea what you were going to say next.
We have three chickens that have taken up residency, and I think they're finally getting used to us, and we're getting used to them.
So why did y'all allow new chickens to move in? Were the old chickens not good enough, or what happened?
This is a first for us, so we are learning as we go, but it has been really fun to interact with our visitors as they're out there, and they come across our chickens. I've had some really nice conversations with people just sitting at the fence talking about chickens, and then we get to talk more about Canonsburg as we're there. So it's a great opportunity.
I'm glad you didn't say I've had really nice conversations with the chickens.
Well, that too, but we're trying to make friends with each other here.
Where are the chickens when you go into Canonsburg?
When you go into Canonsburg, they're towards the back on the right before you get to the Lehman House.
And again, we've been talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. And if anybody has any questions, I guess the best thing to do is head to the website.
The website, murfreesboroparks.com, is the easiest, or you can jump on the city's website and navigate. But our parks page is just full of information, all of our facilities, programs. The calendar is up to date, so if you're, you know, just looking for something to do on a particular date, just plug that in and all of our programs will come up.
So everything you need, right?
Everything
there
you need at your fingertips.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Again, Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. Stay with us. We do have more news coming your way in just 1 minute.